Today is Wednesday, May 4th. We are back. Decky, West Coast. How are we, brother?
Oh, Andy Director, dude. We're back in the biz, baby. May the 4th be with you.
Oh, I'm honored to be back on the 4th.
It's a big deal.
Yes, sir.
We also got our sweet, sweet producer, Marcus, here. Thanks for making the comeback, Marcus. Running the Twitch stream. Just being a great producer. It's been nice eating bagels, catching up, setting all this up casually. We're back in the hub, baby. I'm excited.
We are back in the hub. There's something I want to address. I heard a rumor from a good friend while he was out in San Diego at a wedding with you, I believe. Are you taking hair supplements to revive some of these hair follicles? Is that something that I'm hearing?
Yeah. Someone must have told you something because that's absolutely correct.
Decky mullets?
Yeah. So my mullet, I hate that we're already talking about the mullet, but my mullet is looking good now. Like it is looking great. It is turning a corner. My hair is insane right now. I got the sea. It's called saltwater spray. It just holds good volume for the mullet. I read it online in a blog somewhere. I purchased it from Sephora. They had a 30% off deal on a Friday one day, and I absolutely sent it. And I've been spraying that in my hair every morning when I get out of the shower, and you know, my hair's holding volume. So thanks for noticing.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's gotten thicker. You know, as someone who lost their hair, you're staying ahead of it. You want to make sure that you don't even sniff the potential of losing your hair.
Yeah, I use rosemary spray every night. That helps actually like grow the hair and keep my head full, and then I use the saltwater spray to like hold the volume. So I got a whole little ordeal here, Andrew. I'm pretty excited.
Nice.
How's your hair journey going?
My hair journey's great. I mean, it's every Friday. I cut it myself.
Get it shaved off? Yeah,
it's a zero on the blade, and I've gotten good at now like literally cutting it myself. Like I just feel where the hair is on the back of my head, yeah. And I just go in a straight line, and then I have like a little baby mirror that I do like a little quick look from the mirror, like a two-way mirror action.
Yes.
And see, oh, it looks like I missed a spot right here. Snip that.
And, that's exciting.
It's pretty good. The only thing I struggle at is the neck. The neck is like, I'll get like a little long hairs closer down to my shoulders because you know, I'm getting old and I'm getting back hair.
Nuts,
which is something that it's hard to wrap my head around.
What's your chest hair game looking like?
Weak.
Same. Yeah. I've actually sprouted like three new chest hairs. I think just kind of from my heroic acts in recent days. More like I take a risk, it ends up working out, and then I grow chest hair because of that. Like last year, I did a backflip off a 50-foot cliff in Sedona. I gained two chest hairs from that, which I was pretty stoked about.
Mm.
I had a big chest hair year last year. Now this year, surfed a few times. I've took Christine out for a date. There's a few things I've done that I think I'm pretty proud of, and I have chest hairs from that now.
I'm just eating the crust off of bread, and that's how I'm getting how I'm getting my chest hair.
But hey,
for sure.
We learned something the other day when from our Sedona trip, which first ever back pocket company retreat. We did learn something there. We got to watch our gluten intake
in a large way,
huge way. Yes. I used to bash everyone for like, oh wow, you're being all gluten sensitive and like you're gluten free. Oh cool, actually. Smart move. Even if you like gluten, it's good to just not eat as much because it makes you feel like shit, dude.
Yeah, you're super groggy. What's hilarious about that whole trip, we were just two little Catholic boys.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet little Catholic boys.
Get back to your roots, baby.
And we had a whole motto of just like being these little health nuts. We were grabbing bacon without...
No nitrates.
No nitrates for sure.
Nitrate free.
No gluten. We had tacos, corn tortillas, of course.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously we were active. We were doing a little hiking. We were playing some golf. But I felt like we were just like oddly just way more thoughtful about how healthy we were in the ways that we typically don't. I can't tell if that's the Christina impact on you.
Totally.
That Christina you were just like bringing on to me.
Yeah. Christina's a functional nutritionist now. She's like, she's got her whole degree. She's about to blow up on TikTok. She's like, she knows every in and out of every food and diet ever. So it's like.
Is she throwing out content on TikTok?
She's about to.
Mm.
I'm announcing it here, but she's going to blow up, dude. It's going to be sick. She's like, how do I even start? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, you're talking to the right guy. Let me tell you.
This is my wheelhouse.
So, okay. Obviously, we're back after 6 months. We haven't recorded a back pocket podcast in legitimately 6 months.
Yeah, November last year.
November of last year was our last one. And some things have happened since then, I would say.
Yeah, we wrapped up the year. Let's just like real quick. We wrapped up the year with the best Christmas ever, raising $43,000 for a family. Nuts.
And then, and by the way, that family has now found a home finally. They still have that $43,000 sitting in a bank account for them, ready to use. They were looking for a house, like so many different ins and outs, but they finally found a house that they're going to sign on in the current day. They should have some sort of house to move into by the end of May.
That's really exciting too, because they took their time. You know, it's not like the money came in and then they looked at a home, they saw it, wow, wide-eyed, grabbed it. Like, it took them 5 months. They went through the process. We met the realtor. He was there the day that we surprised them with the money.
Yeah.
Most genuine. He was doing it pro bono. The guy was just an awesome, what was his name?
His name is Bravo. And that guy has had to work so hard to get this family a house. Like, they had to work through the Homeowners of America to get like the backing that they needed to have a mortgage and like own a home. And so that was a fight to get that. They finally got it. This $43,000 is going to cover like their down deposit on the house plus like a couple mortgage payments, which is amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The market, real estate market of like houses are insane right now. Like, people are buying houses without even inspecting them or even going and looking at
them.
And
they're putting full price, like they're putting cash down on the whole home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so this family here going through Homeowners of America is just like very old school. They're just like, hey, inspect the home, go look at the home, blah, blah, blah. So like all these people selling houses are like, we're not going to choose you if you require an inspection. We're just going to go sell it to Joe Schmo over here who is just going to give us cash.
Who's got a suitcase in hand and he's ready to move in touring the home.
So yeah. Like that is what they were up against these last 4 or 5 months. Like, can you imagine living in a hotel, like trying to figure that all out? Like being the kind of like at the mercy of the market, like crazy. Anyways, they finally got that. We raised $43,000, which was more than four times the amount we raised last year. We threw a sick party with Straight Candidate Grays to throw the whole event. And
jumped in the ice bath. You did 32 minutes.
36.
36
minutes.
36 minutes indoors.
Actually, no, it was 32. You're right.
I want to say, because I did 30. You're like, let's go an extra two. Let's top it off.
Yeah.
There's an asterisk right there. I was outside. He was indoors in the fancy Lululemon.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally can give you credit for the fact that it was actually cold outside when you did it, and it was actually warm inside when I did it. Maybe we do it together this year to like level the playing field and do it in a river or something. Like, I don't know how that's all going to look.
But. Definitely in a river. Mark Dodd will get involved because he's been jumping in rivers across America, dude. Which is just electric.
I love that, dude. I love every part of it.
So yeah, that's how we ended the year with best Christmas ever.
And let's be real. We were fucking exhausted. Mm-hmm. I slept, I think, for 3 or 4 weeks after that. Like, I was tired, man. I did not want anything to do with just like social content, producing anything. I was like, I'm going to take this time to ski, be with my family, get some sleep, read some books. Like, we just went completely lights out basically for a month, I would say.
Yes. And so, yeah, finishing that year, we had Straight Candid. We were preparing for Bochella. We were preparing for the Date Night podcast. We finished off the year with Best Christmas Ever. We were recording our own podcast. And it was that point of
taking on clients.
Taking on additional clients. We were speaking with several new potential podcasts that we were going to help produce, including, this was a funny conversation. We spoke with one of the women on, was it Gossip Girl? She started the clothing company, and I can't remember the show, but people were like fired up when we told them we were speaking with her. Things didn't work out, but it was hilarious to be on that call.
Can we get a name drop at least? God, I can't remember her freaking name.
What was the show?
Her name was like Kelly, right?
Yes, and it wasn't Gossip Girl.
Gilmore Girl?
No, not One Tree Hill.
No, it was literally like Gilmore Gossip. It was like, her name's like Kelly or something, right?
But they made a remake of this show recently, and this is the original. And she was like the mom or the... Regardless, Deck, we'll look that up. We were taking on new opportunities for podcasts, and we were sitting there thinking to ourselves, like, I can't breathe.
Legitimately can't breathe.
I can't breathe. We were able to do all of this, but we're not doing all of it well. And that
we're taking like 7 classes and getting like C's and D's basically.
C's and D's, and it hurt to like look at our work and be like, fuck, we could be doing so much better at this or this, and we just didn't have the bandwidth, the capacity to execute on it. So during this 4 or 5 weeks where we went lights out, it was more of a lot of internal reflection of like, hey, what do we care about? What do we want to be
doing? Yes, 100%. And we had a phone call, I remember, probably like late January, maybe even into February.
Yeah, because we had a pushback date night podcast because there was like a COVID spike and there was vaccine mandates all of a sudden. And we're like, all right, we can't be doing it in January. Let's push it to February. And yeah, by February, things had changed.
yeah, people gave less of a shit. No kidding. But yeah, we had a phone call like either last week of January or first week of February. And it was like just kind of a catch up call. But then it ended up turning into like kind of the call that like kind of changed everything, because we just cut like everything out that we were like, this is not worth it anymore. One of those obviously being Bocella.
And I do want to frame this in a way of like, yeah, during this call, you know, there was like a moment where we were going through all the stuff that we're doing, where we're progressing.
Right. It was a catch-up call. And we were just like, how many fucking things are we doing?
We were trying to get like Brianna Chicken Fry at Bocella to do like a collab with Twinsick. We were working on all these sweet projects and we were working through it, and we didn't sound very passionate about it. And I think you could hear it in my voice, because there was a moment where we were silent and you go, Andy, I'm gonna say something, and I just want you to know, like, I'm committed, but like, I want to get this off my chest. I don't think we should be doing Bocella this year. And then I was like taken back, and I was like, hair standing up my arms right now, just thinking about it. I was like, I don't really want to be doing it either, but like, it's an expectation that it's something that people want us to do. So we should have to provide it for everyone.
Yeah.
And when you said that, it like opened me up of like, holy shit, he sees it too.
Yeah. We were on the same, like we were shocking ourselves that we were, like we're on the same page again. No kidding. Like, that was awesome.
Yet again. Shocking.
Yet again. No way. Same dude. Room. So cool. So sick, dude. You and I on the same page. Nuts. Like, to phrase it, I think you were like, dude, do you even want to do this show anymore? Like, do you even want to do Bocella anymore? I was like, no, I don't. I'm done. I'm sorry. It grew into like a bigger thing that ended up taking 6 months of the year to put together. Like, that's never what it was before. And it's like the best day of the summer. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm going to miss actually going to Bocella, but
it genuinely feels like a breakup. Like, when you're going, totally. When you're telling people that it's not happening, they're looking at you like you've lost your partner for life.
Yeah. They're like, we had people come up to us last night at the dinner. Like, hey man, just to let you know, like, I'm happy with what you're doing, but I'm sad that Bocella's not happening this year. I'm like, I know, same.
And it cracks me up how many people are like, I would help. Do you need me to run it? And I just note it. I'm like, noted. You love this thing. You would sacrifice your time and energy just to host and run the thing. Noted. Honestly, not going to take you up on it right now, but noted for the future.
But honestly though, and if anyone's listening to this, it's like, I want to run Bocella. Like, we will 100% employ you to do so. Cause like, I'm all about showing up for the event and like helping you put it together a little bit, but like, I can't be, my ass can't be on the line for like how it goes. Like, it's just, it was one of those things where it's like, we had 7 to 8 things going on. Bocella was one of them that took all of our time. And it was one of those things where it's like, it's a party, man. It's like, that's, it made us money. It was great. It was fun. But like, we have so many other things going on that we really, really like doing, that we have, that we see legitimate futures in. And we're like, we got to focus on that, because you and I are not going to be traveling around the country to different lakes and oceans.
Yeah. The scale model.
Trying to scale Bocella to like the next big thing and then selling that out. It's like, really, you're going to like throw yourself into like the party scene full on for the next 3 years to like make this happen? It's like, not really. I don't really care too much about trying to replicate Bocella every week of the summer in Minnesota either, just because like that's the same type of investment of time where it's just like, I get tired thinking about it.
Yeah. And that's what it was at the end of the day. It's like, we love this thing. This thing, we have the most enjoyment and fulfillment, like putting it on, seeing the 350 people on the boat. That whole day is incredible. But to do this long term is not where we want to take Back Pocket Productions. Totally. That is not the answer. We're not going to go to Seattle and Austin, Texas and Boston and host these massive boat parties. It's not the case. We loved what it offered us for the 3 years that we did it because it was an extension of how we lived life. Through after college, we enjoyed getting our friends together, listening to live music, sitting outside. Like, yeah, we still love doing that. And we wanted to bring our, like, we wanted to do it at scale and see what it would look like. And we did it. Like, last year, grand slammed.
We crowd surfed.
We crowd surfed. That's nuts. We sold out the boat. It was a perfect summer day. Like, I am honored to to go out on that. Like, that is like winning the Super Bowl and having the awareness of saying, like, I don't need to come back for another season.
Unreal.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we obviously cut Boachella, and then, like, we had some clients that we let go, which was huge.
And we had a retail client that just wasn't panning out. Not a culture fit.
Not a culture fit. That was, Marcus can attest to how shitty that was, because Marcus and I were, like, working so hard for this real estate client, and he was not having what we were putting out there. Oh, my God. So, thank you ahead of time, Marcus. I really appreciate that.
Yes.
You're the man for that.
Yeah, anytime, guys. It was definitely a really stressful time, too, because we also were doing date night at the time. We were working with Straight Candid also. So, there was, like, three podcasts that we were, like, going through constantly. And that just, it just wasn't working for us.
Yeah. Again, you're the man. So, I really appreciate your input and, like, just your help with all of it. And, like, it's cool to see you grow up, man. We've been working together for 2 years. How nuts is that?
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, you graduated college this past year. So you've been out of school now for 8 months, almost a year.
Yeah.
And dude, you're just so elite at what you do. I mean, like, I am stunned that you fell into our lap through Austin Yoakum. Like, you had we talk about this all the time, but you had the awareness to, like, go out and seek Austin. He posted that job. You accepted it. And then working with him, we were looking for someone. Austin's like, hey, you should go talk to Back Pocket. You came into our studio, and the rest is history, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was thinking about it a little bit yesterday because, you know, we wrapped up Date Night Season 2, and that was definitely very exciting. But I actually graduated on the season finale of Season 1. And that was wild. I remember, like, turning in my final, running into the first draft, and then just putting on that event. Francia was there. My parents came. And it was just wild because I was like, just graduated college, and here I am.
Yes.
Like, finishing this up. And, like, we sold out. I remember that was also really important, like, especially to me, because I showed up within the first few episodes. We had done pretty well in terms of a crowd coming, but
started with, like, five people to, like, 40-ish.
Yeah, it was something very casual at first, and then we, like, sold out almost, and I was just like, wow, this is crazy. Like, this is wild. This could be something really special. Mm. So I was thinking about it last night. I was talking to Lauren, and she was saying that she only has a few more weeks until she graduates, and I was like, I remember where I was.
Oh, that's so good, dude. I got chills thinking about that. Like, oh, man, I think traditionally, you and I, Marcus included, like, just our average quality is 1,000,000,000% focusing on one thing. Like, we're so average at, like, trying to do that because there's so many things that, like, we're either asked to do, projects that people want us to do, or whatever it is. And so, like, being able to, like, pull away and actually say no to things and then only focus on the Date Night podcast and to see that product manifest these past 10 weeks and go from, like, basically a casual thing where, like, 5 to 40 people show up to basically what we threw down last night was, like, it shows that when you put the energy into one thing, how rewarding that is. It feels good to get an A instead of feeling like you're spread thin and can only manifest a C. Like, we're in the B to A range now at some point, to what I think, at least.
Well, and on top of that, we now, you give us whatever grade you want, but we have an A with the ability to grow. We have I got an A without giving 100.
Maybe we got a B because we got a B and now we have the ability to get an A.
Right. We actually have time to get the A. Like, totally. Versus for the longest time, we looked at something and we're like, fuck, how are we going to squeeze this in here to make it actually
totally
better?
Yeah. Totally.
And, like, on top of that, so we released Boachella from our game plan for the year. And then we also sat down with Straight Candid and we're like, this is not something that we both can do anymore together.
Yep.
And we tried to, I mean, there was obviously always some, like, weird contract issues that we didn't agree on at the beginning of like creating Straight Candid that always put us in a pickle. And 6 months in, we had a 6 month agreement. And then after a year in, we spent like 4 or 5 months just like trying to get them to agree to some type of terms where Back Pocket would benefit. And we just never could find that common ground. And the four of us sat down in a conversation and we were like, let's just end it. We're still great friends, but from a business standpoint, it's not going to work out.
We just didn't have the time between the three of us to like really put that whole thing together. And in the midst of everything else we were doing, like, I think we did a good job with what we did for them and it was awesome. The partnership was great. But yeah, like what you're saying, it's like we either need to be compensated accordingly or like something else needs to change, because it was tough to really keep that thing afloat. And there's no like bad blood or anything. I think like those ladies are all phenomenal. We still are great friends with them. I'm sure we'll do something with them in the future. Like there's really no difference in like how they're running their show. Like we were able to hand off everything pretty good. I just think what it opened my eyes to is like we are like really good at building stuff. Like we helped Straight Candid just like get in a room together and hit record and then like help them get through the first 68-69 episodes. And
at one point they were a top 25 comedy podcast.
Yeah,
6 months into producing it because of the legwork that and the vision that we were able to plan help out.
Like us, our ability, Marcus included, of like how that all went together, like how hard that was to like get to that point, but also like how worthy it felt to like literally have a project like growing and manifesting itself, like with those two girls. Like they're some of the best podcasters and like producers, entertainers that I've ever seen. Like for us to just simply sit back and watch them build that thing is like the coolest, most rewarding thing. And that's where when I saw that and like when they continue to grow, I'm like, wow, like we're good at that. Like now seeing us do it with the Date Night podcast, having seen us do it in the past with Bocella, doing it with our own podcast, like we have like an inherent ability to do something very special. So again, going back to like the fact that we're focusing on the Date Night podcast, like we're going to build this thing into a goddamn empire. And I'm like stoked that that's what's happening. Yeah. Marcus, you look like you're about to say something.
I was just going to say it was really cool working with Straight Candid at first, especially because like when we were doing really well on TikTok and every
yes,
time we
yes,
hit.
Yes, finally.
Anytime,
chicks get clicks. We were like, it's working. It's
anytime that we model. Hit like a million, or I had one that went 4.2 million. And that
your
was
videos,
just crazy.
Your videos yeah. that are like going nuts.
Yeah. I remember texting you about it and I was like driving to Francia's and it was like, hey, just so you know, this just hit a million. And I was like, oh. That's crazy.
That's a sweet portfolio builder.
Absolutely wild. And then the numbers just kept going up and up and up. And then, like I said, 4.2 million. And that was just like an incredible feeling. It was very gratifying. And I'm excited to do it again.
Yes. Absolutely run it back. And like to slow down here for a sec, but what Bocella, Straight Candid, Date Night podcast, our own podcast all embody is we are building the space. And I know that sounds very vague, but like we are building space and there is a unique input that we bring to the table that makes that space more engaging, more feeling like you're at home, you're in your living room. Like people are relaxed, they're themselves in all of these spaces and they want to be there. And I'm very like proud and honored to like continuously do it repetitively over and over again. And to release Bocella and Straight Candid the morning after we agreed on all of this and we took the actions to shut those projects down, the next morning I couldn't tell you how much taller I was. Like like creative energy began to flourish back into me. I just felt like I have it again, like what we started on and why we do all of this, like that energy returned versus having this expectation of like you need to be doing these things because this is the way that you've set up your future and this is what people want from you. And it was a simple, honest conversation between the two of us of like, this isn't us and we need to be better, simply. And that in itself opened up this creative energy to reinstill inside the Date Night podcast and even in just like my own life, just like finding space for my own self to live.
Totally.
I know that sounds so simple, but
yeah. Well, honestly, like to help contextualize it a little bit more, it's just like all those things were us. Like we loved Boachella. We helped build Straight Candid to what it is. Like,
but I no longer saw myself in it.
Yeah, because like it was, they were all things that we've built, we've been in, but like we've grown out of them simply. And like for, it's almost insanity to spin your wheels on existing things that you were in, clearly knowing that you don't belong in them. And so being able to have the awareness to say no or to shut those things down, to then be able to look forward to what you actually want to create, is like, that's just growth. And that's what that creativity, and that's what life is all about. I think it's just like, it's okay to shut down stuff that you've built before. And it's okay to feel like you aren't recording 120 podcasts in an attic studio, and it's okay to not throw a boat party every summer. Like there's so many, those are just a sign of growth. And I wrote that in our Instagram post the other day, like it's okay to move on from old projects as a sign you're growing. And that's simply like what we're doing now and what we're talking about. And I'm sure we'll listen back to that. Like, oh, this is the moment that these guys figured out it's okay to say no and grow on the new things. It's like, it's a cool realization, man.
Cause there was a lot of times throughout the 340 podcasts that we've recorded under the Back Pocket podcast where friends and entrepreneurs would come on to the show, and their biggest piece of advice, say yes to everything. Do it all. Say yes to everything. And it has so much truth to it, because
I think they would say both, though. It was like some would say yes, and then some would say no. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. it kind of just depends on what situation you're in, right?
Yes, absolutely. And saying yes opens up the door to say no. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
We spent 5 years saying yes to everything.
Everything.
Everything and anything. And then we did it all. Give value, get value. And mm-hmm. and we were returned with value of just knowledge and experience. Mm-hmm. And now we feel confidently saying no because of where we could go with that no. And
totally.
If we want to focus on the Date Night podcast, or even like what we're talking about inside the Back Pocket podcast of like what this space is, we can kind of transition there.
Totally. Yeah. So that was basically like the catch up of like our last 6 months. Andrew and I guess we should also say we did a company retreat after we released the chains of all the different past projects we had. And we basically started with a brand new clean slate is what it felt like. And we went to Sedona, played some golf in Arizona. You flew in, had a nice company retreat, and got to spend company dollars on just like you and I trying to figure out what the hell we wanted to do. And I thought, like, I think that was like one of the more rewarding things that we've done. Honestly, like, it was a cool testament, not only to the fact that like we've made money and we can spend it on ourselves. I thought that was just like a cool thing.
We have money. We have plenty of money, but we never.
Not plenty. Hold on, man.
We have plenty of money from the standpoint of like, it's not our full-time job, but sure. We can invest and reinvest in certain things.
Yeah.
And we just never spend it on ourselves. We always are like company first, obviously.
Reinvest.
Yeah. Reinvest. So for the first time in 5 years, we spent it on this vacation, and we went to Sedona. Got a sweet little Nomi Airbnb that was awfully spooky.
Spooky. We got a spooky, really expensive one night Airbnb. And we hashed a bunch of shit out, and we're basically like, at the end of the day, what we realized is like, keep doing what you're doing. Like there's no crazy existential thing here. Just like keep building.
That's the internal anchor point though.
Yeah.
Like keep doing what we're doing. When we say that, the internal anchor point is we are builders.
We're builders.
And look at what we've built. What do we want to build right now? And it's this space called the Date Night Podcast, mm-hmm. because it allows for us to become a TV show if we wanted it to, an event space. And we are tapping into live streaming opportunities. So like that in itself is the area we want to play in and refine and improve. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more behind the scenes that needs to get better and we want to tackle. But like from a schematic standpoint, it's hosting events based around production. Totally. Instead of the Boachellas of the world.
Totally. Absolutely, man. And that was like kind of just the big takeaway outside of just like having fun with friends and, getting rowdy. But I think that's a great transition point of just like where we go with the date night now, because it's like with this podcast, I think specifically with Back Pocket, it's like I'm only going to record this, or I only want to record this and with you, when we can sit down together and have like a time to just like hang out in our little, community podcast room. Like the spending extra time to go out of our way to like record Zooms with podcast guests and XYZ. Honestly, it's a little bit like we don't have that time because there's so many other things that we want to be doing with the Date Night Podcast simply.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, we'll find time when you're in town. We can always bring in like the Mark Dowdles of the world, the Jason Koons.
We got to check in with Austin Yoakam.
The Mark Amix of the world. Like, that is how I envision using this podcast.
Totally.
Document our stories.
Mm-hmm.
Have a home base for everything that we are continuing to do and to grow.
Right.
That's it.
Simply.
We don't need to be doing it every week where we're sacrificing 2 to 3 hours to make this happen.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it feels good. That's like the part that gets me so fired up is because we're just like, we're making good decisions, man. Like when you actually have the time to focus on the things you love, like things start to freaking grow. And there were times in the last year where I was like, man, I'm tired, but I got to get this done. And it was like, not that fun to do. But now that we've kind of given ourselves a little bit of freedom to choose the things that we want to do, now it feels so much better. Like, oh, I'm staying up late to do this, but I'm so excited that I'm doing it. Like, I'm so excited that this social clip is about to like go nuts because I spent a little extra time here and there to touch things up. So it's so rewarding. And I think that's like where we're heading next is like, we just closed out season 2 of the Date Night Podcast last night. That was my second time ever going. First off, kudos to you, Andrew and Marcus, for putting together one of the tightest operations for a show completely bootstrapped that I've ever seen. You guys, we got everything fucking color coordinated. We got bins full of things. Everything's super organized. You can't lose anything in there. No, the cord management is out of this world.
Gaff tape. Biggest ad of season 2. Gaff tape, Marcus.
Was that Marcus's call?
Yeah, he's like, Andrew, go buy gaff tape. We use it at the dining job that I'm at, and it changes everything. And I was like, I'm going to get it. Chewing.
It's a chewing.
And now we have our cords like nicely, neatly tucked away. And for the most part, there's still some cord issues, but the start of season 2, beginning of February, middle of February, we rolled out the first episode and it was a repeat of season 1.
Basically,
and it had, I want to say, like late season 1 vibes where like we still had the energy and the awareness of what we built, but it wasn't like full, like we didn't do the best job of pre-marketing the show and its release. Mm-hmm. There was a good amount of people there. We did not have headphones, but we held a tight shift. You created the call sheet, Marcus, and that kept us like organized. That was our most efficient show. We did it in an hour and we were cruising. Because no one was listening.
Absolutely. And when you guys were in Sedona and doing your little company retreat, I remember like waking up the next day and I remember waking up and being like, all right, what's next? Cause I remember when we were on the phone call, I was like, what happens now that we're not going to do all these other things? And we were like, let's just finish up date night and let's see what happens. And I remember I was on a walk and then that got me thinking, all right, what can we do with date night to make it better? What are other projects that I'm passionate about that I want to pursue? All these other things, which was very like freeing for me too, because I was also like very
you're in
much
the thick of it
in
too.
The thick of it. Yeah. But when I was thinking about date night specifically, it was like, all right, let's think about, you just graduated. What did you learn in college? Let's actually utilize some of that stuff. And then like, all right, well, communication's key. Call sheets are necessary. Let's grab that. What am I learning at this other job that I can implement here? So call sheets necessary. Organization was necessary. A lot of these things were just things that I had to think about just going on daily walks, making sure that they happen, communicating with you guys. And then it was really cool to like show up for that first day. And we were like, all right, well, it looks better. It looks cleaner. That's a good step. Mm-hmm. What's next? And the next week it got better. And the next week it got better and better and better. And yeah,
that was we refined the small things. We addressed the small things. And this is really funny. So after episode 1, we got a DJ that plays after the show because we want to keep the people longer at First Draft. And Jay comes up to me and he goes, dude, we need to get headphones. And I know we've already talked about this a million times, but
we love the headphone.
We love the headphone bit. And Jay goes, yeah, we need to go get headphones. I was like, I don't know how to do that. He goes, well, let's just get some Silent Disco headphones. It's like, where do we get those? He goes, I know a guy. He throws me in a group chat that night, and I go meet with these two headphone guys, the Stealth House boys. We grab beers on a Friday, and they show me how it works. And I was like, oh, let's just test run that on Monday, and we can try to implement it on Wednesday. And we did exactly that. And the energy at the bar just flipped.
Totally.
Now everyone is like deeply invested into the conversation happening live, real time. The reactions are so genuine. I'm sweaty the entire time because there's so many little things that people need to be in the right place. And the actual content inside every date, some of them are hitters. Some of them are like hella awkward, but that is a hitter in itself. Yeah. People really enjoy watching people crash and burn.
Yeah. How about last, like, so one of the older guys, Dave, who ended up winning last night, Dave was like, you guys are just running a NASCAR show. Like, everyone in the audience is like, you know, they sit down and watch the cars go around and around, but like, everyone goes nuts when the car crashes. Like, you guys are just setting up dates to, you know, be awkward and fail and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is kind of like, that is kind of a benefit.
Everyone wants to see the fail.
Everyone wants to see the crash.
Yeah.
At times.
But yeah, I mean, like, we grew the show, and we're having roughly like 120 people there a night. And over the next like 9 episodes, we tried to test different things that would be more engaging mm-hmm. with the crowd.
Yes.
We're becoming really savvy with the space happening real time. There's mm-hmm. some things that need to be improved on in the back end with our Twitch stream and stuff like that. But the actual space is electrifying. We had 4 different hosts this season. We had T-Flow, Mark Dowdle, Jess, and yourself.
Yeah.
So we had different people hosting different spaces.
We had different types of episodes, different types of people. Definitely like kind of went all kinds of different directions. And I really liked that. And I like what for you guys, like in the, when did you think it like changed for you guys when, this season where it was like, whoa, we're putting together like something insane?
I remember there was a moment when we had the headphones and Will, our photographer, never wears them. And he's very adamant about not wearing them. And I questioned that. And so I took mine off at one point and I heard the crowd just be silent.
Dude,
and
I had that
like
same realization.
People in there and it was just silent. Everybody was listening. And then every once in a while, all of them would laugh at once. And then that was just an absolutely wild thing to happen. Yeah. And I'm here with my camera and I'm like, what do I take pictures of? Because like, I can take pictures of the crowd. I can take pictures of us. We're all having a great time. But it was just absolutely a moment where you just take everything off and you realize like, this is a ship. It's sailing. It's not sinking. And we're doing pretty good. And that was the moment for me that I was like, this is better than last season. And I can tell that this is going to be something special.
Mm. Was it, when was the Dan Booty episode?
That was episode 3.
From 3 onward, I was like, this is it.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I knew we were going to get to this point. I just didn't know how and when.
Yeah.
It came very fast and it was episode 3 and I was like, holy shit, we got 6 more to 7 more to do.
Yeah.
And a little deep breath, a little understanding. Okay. How do we repeat this? But how do we diversify and make sure we're not pigeonholed into one? Like, this is what everyone thinks is going to happen at the date night podcast.
Getting people from St. John's on the show. I think that was like half of our season this year.
Seemed to be. Yeah. When you add new people to your own team, they bring in their crowd. So Maya, a Johnny was like, oh, what if we had this person? I was like, that sounds like
a great idea. Yeah. You know, what's funny too, is the Dan Booty episode. Dan Booty was not even assigned as the king until like Monday night before the Wednesday show, like 2 days
before.
We were in Sedona, yeah. And we had two other kings that both backed out at different times. And I am thankful that they did because they were not that good. And Jess was just like, hey, I have this friend Booty who would just be like hilarious to be on the show, like kind of a douchebag, but like kind of an awesome guy. Like, would love, you should have him, like he should be a king. And I was like, next question. So we FaceTimed him in the car on the way home from Sedona, just acting like total goofballs, and like it was like, hell yeah, I'll do that. It sounds like a hell of a time. And yeah, you're right, he brought a squad. Everyone was just like dialed in, like Marcus, like I had that same realization too, Marcus, where I was just last night, I was just walking around with like without my headphones on and just like seeing everybody just like so dialed into the conversation. I was like, this is so fucking cool. Like, I can't believe it. But
And that, and on top of that, like, why it's such a thrill is we're not in it alone anymore. We have, like, there's a group of people that care about it equally, if not more than us.
Mm-hmm.
From Will helping with taking film photos to doing all the small things, like helping me grab water for the Kings and Queens. Like, he is always like, has the awareness. What needs to be done? How can I help? How can I get the contestants in the right spot? He's even like goes the length, and a lot of the people on the team do this. When the contestants come in, like introducing themselves, like getting the conversation rolling right away, so everyone feels welcome and at home. Jess, Maya, T-Flo, Lauren, Shona, Tristan, Shona's boyfriend, became the sixth man of the year.
Total utility guy.
Mark Dowdle, every person was looking for some way to make the show doper.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is like insane, because we're all here like growing this thing, and it, you know, some people come in and they just want to do this one thing and they're in and out. It's a job and they're done. But no one looks at his job. Everyone genuinely like, I mean, it makes me really enjoy the Wednesday nights, because I know I'm going into a room with 10 other people. We're strapped, we're loaded, we're ready for battle, and everyone wants to be there. It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a learning curve for me too. I remember in the first two episodes, I think I was a little overprotective of like the switchboard and what was happening on Twitch. And so Mark was on the switchboard for those first two episodes, and I was like, "All right, Mark, here's the call sheet. Here's the way this is going to happen." And then I kept misdirecting him, and then we kept messing up, and that was completely on me. But I just wasn't used to like stepping back and being like, "We have a team. I can let him do his thing, and he's great at it." So it was a learning curve for me too. That last season we didn't have that. And so this season, where it was like, we have people, you can rely on them, it's going to be okay, take a step back and focus on what you're good at, that was like game changer for me. Definitely, yeah. A learning experience.
The other thing too that I love about this season is like, now that the headphones are involved, like now we have just like ravaged fans, like people like eat this freaking show alive. And we were hanging out last night. We went and got drinks with Queen Boo. We went to Cuzzy's, hung out with like kind of the family and extended friends. Just like chatting about the night. It was amazing. Like such a fun, like opportunity to just be able to like sit at a table with those people. And, I can't remember who it was necessarily, but she's like, "You know why the show rocks?" And I was like, "Why?" And she's like, "'Cause you guys are just making it cool to casually date. Like it's not like, because we are listening to people go on dates and like some flop and some go well, like you guys have made us, everyone, realize that like casual dating is cool and it's okay. And if someone were to ever DM me on Instagram to go on a date, or if I were ever able to like swipe for someone on Hinge, however you meet someone and they ask you on a date, it doesn't mean you got to get married the next day,
right?
It doesn't mean that it has to go well. It's just simply an opportunity to say yes to." And she said that it was Anna. It was actually Boo's daughter, Anna. And I was like, that's the concept that we're getting at. Like, we're the exact opposite of The Bachelor and Love is Blind, and the fact that like no one's getting married at the end of the show. There's not crazy high stakes, but there are, like, we make it feel like there's high stakes when you got someone like Boo who hadn't been on a date since she was 19 and she's 57. Like, that's a big deal, right? But like the idea that like people are there to watch other people go on dates, and because of through this experience, like they could go on a date themselves and just say yes to go hang out with someone just to see if it works or not, is like, I was like, that's it. I was like, that's so cool that is like, that's the concept that we're getting at. I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. And it's so simple. It's so simple. And it is like a scary thing. Like I think you brought up a great point of like, if you're on Hinge and someone accepts like your, like asks you on a date, and like people genuinely have the thought of like, if I go on this date, I could be married to this person.
I could be dating this person tomorrow.
I could be dating this person tomorrow. And people are like, "Whoa, no, I can't go on this date.
I don't know about this.
I don't know about this anymore." And
like, but the people asking on the other side are also like, "Oh man, do I send this? Like, do I want to ask this person on a date?" Like there's all kinds of shit that goes into it.
100%. And then you take that same small little moment and you put it on a live show and call it a podcast. And that is why people enjoy it so much, because they can see themselves in that very position. Totally. And they actually go through that time and time again, where they're super nervous for the first 10 minutes of the date and they don't know exactly what to say. And you're sitting there like, oh shit, like I definitely could have done that better. But it, yeah. I mean, people still cared about it and they liked what I said.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think, the other part of it too is like the fact that, sorry, I lost my train of thought here. Anyone can do it. Anyone. Now that we had people in their 50s go on a date last night, anybody below that age range is of access to us. Like anyone can go on a first date. Yeah, anybody. That's why it's so relatable to everybody.
Mm. You play from the 21s to 25-year-olds. Like you play in that space time and time again, occasionally creep up to the 28s. But then you take the leap to 57-year-olds with children, some with grandchildren. They've been married. They've done this. And you host a show that people are saying is the best one of yet in the entire season that we've done.
Yeah, everyone was like, that was the best one.
That was the best one yet. And like, when you hear that, you're like, holy shit, we just went the distance. Yeah. We went to 57, and there's 30 years of people's dating that we still haven't even touched yet.
Touched, yeah. No, that's the crazy capability, but like that's the simplicity of the show. Is like we're a casual dating show, and anyone who's alive can casually date. So, you know, that opens the floodgates as to the opportunities, and that's why I think like us picking up for season 3 in the fall is a good call, because we like as much of a good foundation we've built, there's obviously still so much more to do and try out and test. And I think that's what like the service of this next season could be for us, right? And it's so cool that like listening to those episodes like as the host and like obviously with the headphones there and there, I was gaining like actual knowledge. I was like, there is a lot of value like in listening in these two go on a date, like as like the younger people in the audience. Like I felt like there was tangible things that were like said on that podcast where I was like, that is like so good to hear. Seriously,
it's amazing to hear.
I'm trying to think of some examples. Like I guess when Dave talked,
the first date with Blake, like he simply said, you guys are like looking at us 50, I think he was 59 and she's 57, like we're almost 60 and you probably are like, this must be so much different. I would want to let you guys all know listening right now, this is the exact same as when you're dating when you're 21. This is,
we're just in older bodies.
Just in older bodies. Like it was, this is the exact same. And everyone's like, oh, ah,
it's true.
Yeah, it's true.
I think we had tears last night. I heard like people were crying.
Dave stood up and leaned in for a kiss. First time ever on the date night podcast that we've had a recorded kiss.
That was kiss nuts, on the cheek. Dude. I was pretty torqued after that. That was good. Oh my gosh. That was nuts. But yeah, like that moment was crazy. Just like the whole aspect of like just their conversations, I thought were so, so incredible. I heard people were crying last night. I don't know if it was true or not.
People tend to cry almost every episode. There's someone crying.
Someone's getting emotional.
Someone gets emotional.
That's amazing.
Or someone's getting in a fight over in the corner or something. Because people are finding love in the audience too, which cracks me up.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
Speaking of people in the audience and people listening, season 3 is going to happen in the fall, probably after Labor Day. We need a lot of help. We are looking for people to help with casting. We are looking for a full-time, part-time, I don't know how to do it, like a contracted host for the show. Someone that can do and be available all 10 episodes. We are looking for event coordinators, so people that can help with getting everything set up and moving our contestants around and different miscellaneous stuff. We're looking for social media coordinators. We're hiring a lot of different positions for season 3. So start DMing the_DNP or go to the Back Pocket Productions, either one, and just send us an Instagram message. We've got about 30-ish people right now in our pool, and we'll start sifting through it. We would love to have like these pieces solidified in June, But the casting stuff is what we need to move the needle on fast. Totally. That is a beast. That's a mammoth. And we got a lot of, like, we have 130 people in on our Google form of people that have signed up. But you need to move through that list. Every person you need to talk to is 10 minutes long. Are they available on that day? Like, it is a habitual cycle, and Deck goes through it week in and week out with Jess. And it is, it's a mammoth.
We're about to kick it up into gear for sure too. That's the other thing, is like, I want to cast at least 300 people this summer. It's a tall task, but I think if you split it up over about 5 to 6 different people, we can make it happen. But I just want to find the best people for the show, man. It's definitely necessary. Like, it kind of runs like how the show ends up going. Like, it's kind of the meat in the bones of everything that goes on. Like, there's so much, obviously, like, event coordination and like getting everybody in the right spots. But like, once you sit them down and the show is actually happening, that's where you see the efforts of the casting.
The people are the most important thing.
Yeah, the people are so important, and that's what makes the show. So it's like,
we need more help.
We need so much help there. And I think I love the fact that like after each episode, you find like a new thing that needs to be a little bit better, and like our awareness to be able to like place people and get them organized like you would a football team for a game. Is like,
we like to refer to us as the Ritz-Carlton concierge staff.
Yeah, I would put our team up against any Ritz-Carlton concierge staff in the nation, and just from a simple service and expectation standpoint.
And that's not to say that John and Carol weren't an elite Ritz-Carlton concierge staff.
Correct.
But we would go against them.
The Ritz-Carlton concierge is clearly in our blood. I think it's obvious, and we're using it to build something completely different and willing to go up against them. So
the NPS score has always been something we've been,
net promoter score, baby.
Yeah, we've been looking over. Man, just looking for some help. People apply.
Marcus, you had something, sorry.
Yeah, if you aren't able to be a part of the team, but you want to contribute to like what happens on season 3, feel free to send us a message at the DNP with your ideas of where you want to see the show go next.
Hey, man.
There you go. Good call, man. Mm. Oh, so many good things. We still haven't blown up on TikTok yet, which that's going to be the next thing that happens at some point. And I'm ready for that. That's going to be nuts.
Yep.
Then we welcome in a whole new audience at that point. So, you know, count down the days until one of our posts go viral, and stay patient on that.
Yep.
It'll happen eventually. But yeah, I think just like, we're in such a good spot, man. I'm just so excited just to like be sitting here. Yeah, after our accomplishments from last night, getting ready to work into casting 300 people, getting this show to feel like a show, and like I actually have a stage and like sell tickets, you know, like we're getting there. We're close.
We're close, and we have a summer now where we have two real things that we're focused on. It's DNP season 3 and some internal branding stuff. Like, we are sitting down.
And changing our logo.
Changing our logo, but with like actually, yeah. And some different messaging things on the back end to figure out how we can sell and portray our brand image anymore. Mm-hmm. How it's evolved.
Because we've basically had the same logo since we first started.
Shout out Annie Vitale.
Our sweet, sweet Annie Vitale designed our logo for one of our for one of her graphic design classes, and we legitimately haven't changed it since.
Junior years in college.
I think it's kind of time to, you know, morph it into something cool that we can throw on a t-shirt.
Yep. So that is the progression of where we're heading. We are documenting it right now. I do want to, we'll probably close up here in a couple minutes, but yeah, I do want to ask you a very important question that Jonah brought up yesterday. Mm. And I just think it is like a very hard answer, but you're going to jump to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm. You have to give it some time to think about.
So we are going to propose a scenario. Usain Bolt and Joey Chestnut eating a hot dog and running a 100-meter race in a combination. Who wins? So you have them both having to eat one full hot dog with bun and all, and then they're going to run a 100-meter race. Who is finishing first?
So I obviously can't jump to the conclusion here right away, but I'm envisioning, you know, you got Usain Bolt at the starting line with Joey Chestnut right next to him. They have hot dogs about 12 inches long, the bun. They have a bucket of water to dunk the bun in. Everything fires off, and Joey Chestnut can finish that hot dog in roughly 6.8 to 7 seconds. How long does it take Usain Bolt?
To eat a hot dog feels like I'm taking 30 seconds to eat a hot dog.
I don't think it takes you 30 seconds to eat a hot dog, dude. With a wet, like eating a wet dog, like I'm thinking, but like 15 to 20 seconds.
That's so fast.
It's a race, man.
But I mean, like you're scarfing down a hot dog in 15 seconds.
I honestly want to try at this point and just see like if it takes 15 to 20 seconds, because I think that's like my estimation.
Is 30 seconds a long time?
30 seconds is a long time.
Feels like that's like humming.
No, because when we were sitting on the couch yesterday with Jonah, when he initially proposed this and he hit start on the stopwatch and we just like watched 10 seconds go by, I was envisioning eating a hot dog in that time. And I was like, give me 10 more. And that's all. And like, that's where I think Usain Bolt could be.
So he's eating that hot dog in 20 seconds.
So I think Usain Bolt eats it in 20 seconds. So imagine this, 6 seconds go by, bang, Joey Chestnut starts running. How fast is Joey Chestnut? How fast does it take Joey Chestnut to get to the end of that 100 meters? Like, he is a little bit of an obese dad. I don't know what his hips look like. I don't know if his hamstrings are in place.
Feels like his knee drive isn't going to be great.
His knee drive is probably not phenomenal.
Well, it takes, let's say Usain Bolt on a great day, he's sub 10, he's like 9.8 or something like that.
Usain Bolt can get to that finish line in 10 seconds.
Yes.
Okay. So let's say it takes, 7 seconds for Joey Chestnut and he starts running. Takes, let's give Usain Bolt, let's say 18 seconds to eat the
eat his hot dog?
Hot dog.
Okay. So under
Joey,
20.
Under 20. How long does it take Joey Chestnut to run that? 100 meters.
I feel
20
like
20 seconds.
I feel like it's 20, maybe longer.
Okay. Let's say it's 23 seconds.
Yes.
Because he's not that in shape. So now you have the total time for Joey Chestnut to run this race is 7 seconds plus 23 seconds. So he takes him exactly 30 seconds to do the entire thing. Usain Bolt's at 18 seconds. And if he runs a good 100 meters, he would beat Joey Chestnut by 2 seconds in that scenario
with that math. And then potentially Joey Chestnut doesn't take him 23 seconds to run a 100 meter dash.
It's going to be a photo finish is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. This needs to happen, dude. Oh my God. I would love to see.
I don't know the answer. I'm going to say Usain Bolt.
I'm going to say Usain Bolt too.
Yeah.
Because Joey Chestnut can train his ass off to cut down his 100 meters, but that's not going to pale in comparison to Usain Bolt training to eat a hot dog quicker than 20 seconds.
And I want to say Joey Chestnut because at the end of the day, I might be overestimating Joey Chestnut's speed and underestimating Usain Bolt's ability to eat a wet hot dog.
That's simple, dude. We're so back. Oh, man.
Fucking cold.
God, yeah. It's got to be Usain Bolt.
Dude, I love you, man.
I love you, man.
Marcus, I love you, dude.
Love you guys.
Life is good.
Life is good. I'm excited for Hot Girl Summer, man. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of people to hire. We got a lot of things. We got a lot of Lego bricks. And we got to kind of build something here. Getting ready for the fall for season 3 of the Date Night Podcast. So we will be in touch soon. I think the next time we record this podcast, I have no clue when that's going to be.
Maybe June. Rumors of you coming back here.
Yeah. I'll be back on tour June 16th to 20th. We'll see what we want to do then.
Back on tour. You might be heading out of Arizona or moving from your location at the end of the year. So I'm going to try to get out there in the fall just to guarantee one more Arizona.
I like that.
Decky West Coast trip.
Yeah. I think that'd be fun.
There's shit happening.
There's all kinds of opportunity. I would say... Yeah, we'll see you guys soon. I'm not too worried about it, you know. Like we're keeping you involved with everything we got going on already. Like we're plenty busy, put it that way.
We're plenty busy.
And I'm happy to be doing with you guys, man.
And we love you guys.
We love you guys, man. It's that simple. Any final closing thoughts, Andrew?
No, I don't really have anything else. I'm proud of us. After 5 years of doing this, 5 years and some change. The growth of who I've become is everything has to do with the back pocket. Mm. It has brought me here. There's some different movement through back pocket. It has taken me in certain directions. I mean, my job is literally has been built from what I've gathered from the back pocket, being a digital advertiser. Like
that's cool.
That isn't the coolest thing ever.
Right.
So 5 years and some change, man.
It's been, It's been a hell of a ride. It feels so good that like we've been 5 years in the making, but it still feels like we're on step one. Like we've swiped our plate clean and now it's like it's blank canvas, time to write the story. And I'm excited to see what we conjure up, man. Seriously. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for the entire opportunity. Thankful for the fact that like we were at the show last night and some guy was like, I hadn't seen him since he was an engineer that I graduated with, and he had shown up to the thing to the last show. Cause he's like, I've never been, but I saw you're flying in. So I'd love, like, wanted to come and say hi. And he goes, some side hobby you got going on here. And I'm like, that's so cool. Like, of course he sees me as the engineer, but like he sees us building like this thing on the side. And it's like, where I'm waiting in line for headphones and there's like 200 people there. Like there's something special about the fact that like, we're doing this with our extra time and we're all seeing benefit from the challenge and the hustle of it all. And I think there's just nothing more rewarding than that. And wouldn't want to be doing it with anybody else. So love you guys, man. It's that simple. It is that simple. Should we sign off, Andrew?
Let's sign off.
All right. We will see you guys all soon. Love you guys, man.
That's it, dude. That's we it. Love you, man.
Love you guys, man.
That's a wrap. Dick care.
Dick care. Seeing double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man. I think it's time to huddle. Yeah.